You're listening to ABC Radio Brisbane and Queensland.
I am alone, gazing from my window to the streets below, on a freshly fallen silent shroud of snow. I am a rock, I am an island.
And I wonder if you can relate to the idea of isolation so beautifully expressed in that Simon and Garfunkel song. I mean, have you ever felt so judged or so self-conscious or so humiliated? You just wanted to get away from everyone, go live on an island somewhere. Well, if you have, I want you to know that you are not alone. You may be affected by social anxiety. And now you and I are going to get to the bottom of this fear this hour. And here to help is Dr. James Kirby. G'day.
How are you going?
Thanks for joining us here on Afternoons. Now, you are a psychologist and lecturer at the University of Queensland, and you specialise in this area, especially with regards to compassion. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Sure. So I focus specifically on compassion-focused therapy, which is a form of therapy that really looks at trying to help individuals with high levels of shame and self-criticism. And of course, we see that a lot in anxiety disorders as well.
Just how common are these anxiety disorders?
They're the most common if you're talking about disorders per se. Anxiety disorders are very common in the population. Of course, anxiety fluctuates quite a lot for different people across time. Social anxiety occurs around 10 to 12% across the lifetime for Australians, that is. So in terms of prevalence rates, that's pretty high. But it makes sense because we're a species that really has this sense of needing to belong. And so the views of others becomes very important. And, of course, people will differ in how intense they focus on that and focus on it in a negative way.
When we're talking about a sense of shame or self-doubt, I mean, how might we feel if we are caught in the grips of anxiety? What is that like?
Well, for people, it's awful. There can be a range of different symptoms that can happen. So for a lot of people, it is immediately they can notice a physiological symptom. So they might notice like their tummy really becoming quite tight. They might notice their heart rate beating really quickly. Their hands might become quite sweaty, for example. Some people start pacing a little bit and they just want to avoid the situation. And of course, those physical symptoms can kind of lead us to believe that there is something quite wrong or dangerous or something to be fearful about. And so then all the thoughts kick off that this is something I need to be worried about. There is a concern. My body's telling me there's a concern here and that it's real, so I need to bolt. And of course, I think some of what we were mentioning earlier, at its extreme, you can have a panic attack, which is really bad, which kind of does feel like it is a heart attack.
So I suppose that brings us to the point, you know, why do you think it's important that we are mindful of social anxiety disorders? I mean, we've spoken about the fact that it is prevalent, it does occur, it does affect people's lives. Why do we need to care about it, Dr. James Kirby?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I suppose everybody, in terms of anxiety, everyone experiences anxiety in daily life. And when people often come to seek help, it's a case of, I want to get rid of that anxiety. Mm-hmm. And of course, that's setting up a situation which is just an impossibility. We can't remove anxiety, but we can certainly look at how we relate to our anxiety in a different way. Now, when we have social anxiety, we become exceptionally fearful of negative evaluation, particularly that in the mind of other people. We have this sense that people can recognise that we're very anxious and we're being judged in a way that makes us feel humiliated and shamed. And often the experience is, in many situations for those particular individuals, that they're not actually being judged in that way. Mm-hmm. And in some situations, in fact, the people who perhaps do notice it are sympathetic towards what's going on, but that's not what's going on in the mind of the individual who is experiencing it. And of course, there can be situations where you experience just awful public humiliation or embarrassment, which can give a real legitimacy to the experience for the individual. So we come across people every day in our daily interactions, and you just never know what's going on in that particular person's mind and how they see the world around us. So I think walking around with an understanding that these sorts of inner difficulties people experience, and just being aware of that and being kind and being a bit more compassionate with each other can be quite useful.
I seem to be reading a lot about anxiety-related disorders at the moment. There's been a bit of a, I guess, pushback, some negative commentary in and around articles concerning social anxiety. People saying, oh, it's, you know, we're living in this culture where we all worry too much and no one has any resilience and just harden up and stop sweating the small stuff. What do you say to that kind of criticism? And, you know, again, going to this idea of, hey, let's take this seriously, because it's more than just people who are worry warts. This is a serious condition.
Yes, absolutely. I think that kind of has coincided with, you know, the rise in social media use as well, and this tendency that everything about our lives is out there and is available to be scrutinised at any given point, which is the hallmark of social anxiety. But I think when social anxiety really becomes difficult is in a situation where there's some kind of threat or competitiveness element towards it, and as a result, you can become highly narrow-focused and very concerned about how people are you know, judging you or observing you. And if you're someone who has this sense that you're fairly low status or low rank, that can become quite toxic for the individual. And so this idea of toughening up or, you know, you just got to get over it, if that was helpful for people, it would make my job a lot easier in terms of being a clinician. But often what that does, if someone says that, what's your tendency? Like if someone was to say to you, oh, you just got to toughen up, is your tendency to go back to that person and share something which you're embarrassed about or slightly ashamed of or concerned about? Well, probably not. Mm-hmm. So you end up holding it as a secret in some ways. And we know from some research, particularly with a colleague I work with in Columbia University in the States, the more we hold on to secrets and the more we're ashamed of that secret, the more it impacts our psychological well-being.
Okay, so it erodes our sense of self, secret keeping.
Well, yeah, certainly can be burdensome for the individual. And so one of the other, on the flip side of this is at the same time, parents can fall into traps as well as being very empathic and wanting to protect their children from any possible difficult situation. But of course, that doesn't allow the child to build up their own sense of confidence and their own ability to tolerate distress in gradual ways to help them take on the challenges that they're going to experience in daily life as well. So there is this...
It's a fine line to walk. You want them to grow a thick skin, but a hide that's penetrable, you know, one that still is allowed to feel and admit when they're vulnerable and when they do need help.
Very much so.
Dr. James Kirby is with you. He is a lecturer and clinical psychologist at the University of Queensland. I'm Catherine Finney and we're discussing social anxiety. Dr. James Kirby, do you think we've created a culture that makes people sick in this way?
Okay. Certainly having, particularly in Western culture, where we become very focused on individual achievement and we're very self-deterministic in that way, we can take very seriously your outcomes and how you're achieving those outcomes. There was a recent study done in Harvard where 15-year-olds indicated 80% of these 15-year-olds surveyed, over 10,000, said that achievement was more important than caring. And so we emphasise and spotlight greatly the importance of achieving. And of course, when we think of social anxiety and tie that into it, that means people are observing what it is we are achieving. And then you can get your sense of self-worth, self-identity based on the achievements alone. And as a result, that becomes quite a threatening context for individuals. And if you're not meeting those challenges and achieving, what does that mean? And it can mean that you might feel or think that other people look down upon you, which can make you feel quite embarrassed or humiliated. Remembering that social anxiety, in order to be at the more intense end of that spectrum, as it were, you'd be experiencing these very distressing thoughts and emotions often and for a long time, for at least 6 months, right? So a lot of people will go through different parts of life being socially anxious, but not to the extreme end that we would see in the case of social anxiety disorder. Mm-hmm. It's very normal and common to have to speak in front of others and be worried about how that's going to go. We get very worried about how we perform at different tasks and how we might interact with others at a party, for example, or if someone's just watching us or listening to us on radio, what people might be thinking. These are very
normal. My palms are sweating right now. I can tell you that much.
Absolutely. These are very normal. These are very normal. But the social anxiety is at the very extreme where you just go to any length to avoid, or you persist through it, but with intense distress.
So tell me then about your work and compassion, this idea that maybe if we bring a bit more compassion into our lives, have a bit more compassion for ourselves as well as other people. Is this how we can start to affect some positive change, Dr. James Kirby?
Well, yes, I think so. But, I'm a bit biased in that opinion. Well. But no, the research certainly shows that as well. So when we talk about compassion, we talk about the flow of compassion. So you can have self-compassion, of course, but you can also have the compassion you receive from others and also give towards others. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned earlier, this sense of toughening up and having some resilience, that can sometimes be implicitly understood that by the individual who needs to become more resilient, that there is something wrong with me. You know, there is something that I'm not getting. There's something that I'm not doing right that others are. And often it's a case of, no, the context that you're in is just so darn difficult. Mm. It's a toxic environment. It's a stressful environment. You're not being able to meet your primary needs of sleep or perhaps or exercise or just being able to have some downtime. So it makes perfect sense that you're feeling very anxious or concerned at that point. So yes, no, I think compassion would be very helpful because one of the primary things we're trying to do with compassion is to descend into the reality that we all experience difficulty from time to time. Mm-hmm. And what we try to do is try to look at the situation as such that we have a tricky brain that gets us caught up in all of these sorts of loops, which we didn't ask for it to do, but it just comes on. So, you're trying to go to sleep and bang, that thought, immediately comes to mind about something embarrassing you did.
Yes.
And you feel like, oh my goodness, what did I do that for?
And then you're like, quiet brain. And that's the trick, isn't it? You've got to learn how to try and master those thoughts.
And what can happen is, though, that inner narrative that we've got can become quite judgmental and quite condemning, and sometimes even aggressive. Mm-hmm. And when that is occurring in the mind's eye, and the way it's relating to yourself, that can really make things a lot more difficult for you. And all it starts to do is continue the arousal of those negative physiological symptoms that make us worry and feel very anxious. Mm. So compassion would look at shifting that inner narrative that you've got to a more friendly, a friendly relating tone of voice.
Dr. James Kirby, thanks so much for joining us here on Afternoons and helping, well, educate me about how to not be my own worst enemy and to bring a little bit more compassion to my life. Thank you.
Pleasure.
ABC Radio Brisbane and Queensland.